Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
On Tuesday, the Department of Education released its 2020-2021 calendar, which included a number of changes for the upcoming year during an already drastically different school year. News that snow days would now become remote learning days and that Columbus Day would become Italian Heritage Indigenous Peoples Day after some public back and forth came alongside the announcement of an expected full return to in-person learning on September 13th. Before then, the DOE has also announced an expanded summer school program, Summer Rising, to provide additional support to all New York City students after an especially difficult year of remote and partially in-person learning. Closely covering all of these developments is Gothamist reporter Sophia Chang, and she joins us now to discuss her reporting. Sophia, welcome to All of It.
Hey.
And parents of New York City school students, we want to get you in on this conversation as well. So what has your child's experience been this school year? And what are your hopes and concerns for the next year? Also, what grade would you give the DOE for this past year and why? Give us a call at 646-435-7280. That's 646-435-7280. Or you can tweet us at All of It or send us a DM on Instagram at the same handle, at All of It WNYC. Again, the Twitter one is at All of It WNYC. So, Sophia, let's start with snow days. Some of the big news from the DOE's calendar announcement was that snow days are out and remote learning is in permanently in their place. So what was the reasoning behind this decision?
Well, it actually is a decision that Mayor de Blasio announced back in December when we had that spate of intense snowstorms. Around mid-December, he had a press conference and said, snow days will be a thing of the past because all the New York City public school kids have access to remote learning. And so given how disruptive the pandemic has been for schooling and the fact that the city has to meet a mandated 180 days of instruction, it seemed like this was the new template moving forward, that even when the weather's bad, you've got to log on to your classwork.
And how will the DOE assure the system is equitable, including assuring access to technology?
So at the beginning of the pandemic, the DOE scrambled to issue devices to the students who didn't have one. And that was a lot of students in New York City who didn't have access to a tablet or a laptop to complete their schoolwork. So they did that big push last spring through the summer. And the DOE has told me that kids who currently have a school device issued by the DOE can hold on to that through the summer and into the next school year. So they should be able to have access to that in the event of a remote learning day due to weather.
And Sophia, we already have a caller. We have Rachel on line two in Manhattan. Can we pull up Rachel? Rachel?
Hi, I'm here.
Hi, thank you for calling All of It. So I believe you have a grade for the DOE. What is that grade and why?
The DOE gets an F from me because my daughter hardly has any school, remote or in person. She goes to her school building Thursday mornings, this morning, from 8 to 10:45. She's at LaGuardia High School. She goes for her art class. And then she has 9 hours of academic instruction, all remote, the rest of the week. That's it.
Huh.
She took math and English in the fall, and she's only taking history, chemistry. I'm sorry, she also had Italian in the fall. And she's taking history, chemistry, and Italian again in the spring. LaGuardia is doing this wacky semester thing, and she doesn't get to take math or English now. So come September, it'll have been like 7 months since she had math or English.
Sophia, is Rachel's experience at all common? What strikes you of it?
Wow, Rachel. So we have heard, especially with the larger high schools, that a lot of kids are going to campus, but what they experience inside the classroom may range from, sitting in front of a laptop and watching a lesson, but still being on campus to, you know, the more traditional classroom instruction. So we have heard incidences of that. It tends to be at the bigger high schools because of the staffing issues that arise around that.
So, Sophia, let's talk about some of the other changes. So also included in the new calendar are some new holidays, one maybe in name only. Juneteenth will now be observed on June 20th, and Columbus Day will be replaced by Italian Heritage Indigenous Peoples Day on the same day, October 11th. What is the significance of adding Juneteenth to the school calendar?
Well, Juneteenth commemorates emancipation, and last year, the governor signed into law that it would be now observed as a state holiday. And the mayor also said at the time that it would be a school holiday. And then the significance means, obviously, it's a recognition of a very historical event, but also it's another holiday in the school calendar. And we still have to meet that 180 days required of school instruction. So that has pushed the calendar out to where the last day of school is going to be the following June, June 26th, which is a Monday. So school will end on a Monday next June, basically.
Mm. If you're just joining us, you're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Rebecca Ibarra, filling in for Allison Stewart. And we are speaking with Gothamist reporter Sophia Chang, and we're taking your calls about New York City schools. So parents, how are you feeling? And what grade would you give the DOE? And why? Call us at 646-435-7280. Again, 646-435-7280. Sophia, the DOE anticipates a full return to in-person learning starting with the new school year, September 13th. But as of late April, more than a third of the city's public school kids are enrolled in some form of in-person learning. But the majority are choosing to stay in full-time remote learning. So how are they planning to accomplish a full return to in-person learning across the public school system?
That's a really good question, Rebecca. I think a lot of it is going to depend on recapturing the trust of parents and students and teachers and principals and staff to make the right decisions. The mayor has repeatedly said they're full steam ahead for full reopening in September, but remote will still be an option, which means we will see whether 100% of families will come back, or if some will again elect to stay in remote learning, and what shape that might take. So I think the CDC changing its guidelines for classroom distancing may continue to evolve as we go closer to September. So right now it's at about 3 feet, depending on whether it's an elementary school or a high school, and adults still have to stay 6 feet apart from the students. So there's still a lot of details to work out if we're going to bring back the nearly 1 million students that go to New York City's public schools.
And we have more callers. Let's bring up Daniela on line one in Washington Heights. Hey, Daniela, thanks for calling All of It.
Hi, thank you for having me on.
So what is your grade for the DOE and why?
I would give the DOE a D for this year. I don't think they really did a good job, and they're continuing not to do a great job. There's no real plan for our middle school and high school students for the end of the year, and they're just kind of like forgotten.
And what is your main concern then as you head into the new school year, Daniela?
My daughter's in elementary school, and my main concern is, even though a lot of elementary school students are currently, including my daughter, are currently going 5 days a week, not every grade in her school is going 5 days a week. And at the local zoned elementary school in my neighborhood, only one grade is going 5 days a week. So my main concern is, you know, we currently don't have the space in our schools to get all the kids who want to go back full time. And what does the DOE plan on doing about that in September, when presumably we're going to have even more kids who want to go to school full time? And there's, you know, without a plan, it's very hard after this entire year of disruption and chaos and mismanagement to trust that the DOE is going to be able to pull this off next year.
Daniela, thank you so much for calling All of It. Sophia, do you want to comment on Daniela's call?
So Daniela is speaking exactly to the point I was making, that the city school system has to get the trust of parents to be sure that their kids won't go through what they've been through in the last year and a half of schools opening and closing abruptly because of cases, or whether they feel like it's a good structure in place to handle future outbreaks. We don't know what the city's going to be requiring of vaccinations. I know right now that the students are not obviously eligible. Most students under the age of 16 are not eligible for the vaccination, but we'll have to see what September looks like and whether the DOE is going to, I believe they have to follow the state, except for flu vaccines. It looks like the student vaccination requirements are set by the state. So we're going to have to keep an eye on how all this unfolds.
Yeah, so it looks like vaccination will play a role in the return to in-person learning. We actually have a teacher calling, Jessica on line four. And Jessica, you have something to say about the decision for snow days going remote. Hey, Jessica.
Hi. I just, you know, in this world of productivity that we're all obsessed with and the way that it is affecting people's mental health, I think it's pretty awful that the mayor would take away the first snow day of New York City. For kids, for families, for that experience. I just think it sets a really bad tone where kids just have to keep producing, teachers have to keep producing, and that they couldn't enjoy, you know, a quintessential snow day in Central Park, for example, on the first snow day. I think it just sends a really bad message, and teachers really were not asked of this. I feel like more is being asked of teachers. And I just don't know when it'll end. If we're just being told, you know, certain things and extending our school year even longer than it is. So it just worries me.
Yeah. And Jessica, when there was a snow day in, you know, in the before times, did you get to take the day off, or were you also working as a teacher?
Teachers got the day off as well. I mean, teachers are always working, you know. I mean, they're working at night, they're working on the weekends. And so, yeah, sure, we get the snow day too, but a lot of teachers have families and they would like to be with their child, you know, creating a snowman, you know, especially in New York City, and be able to be with their child. So to have to work no matter what, I think just, you know, sends us into this life of productivity that we're teaching, what, six-year-olds? And it feels really unfair, and it's taking away from, you know, just a childhood experience, even just the first snow day. I understand, you know, if it's extended, that's one thing. But the first snow day, I mean, kids should have that.
And Jessica, I just have one more question for you, because you sound tired. And I wonder, what could the DOE do to lessen that burden, to give you a little bit more of a break as a teacher?
I mean, it's a good question. I think just being invited into the conversation to make these decisions would help, just giving some voice to teachers instead of, you know, being told that this is what the calendar is. A lot of teachers have great ideas on what the calendar should look like. And it would be great if we had our voice heard.
And Jessica will have to be our last caller. And Sophia, we are running low on time. So Sophia Chang is a reporter for Gothamist. Thank you so much for coming on All of It.
Thank you.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. and our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.